Welcome to the shiur in Svarno Pashas Pekudei. Shiur this evening is sponsored by Bonnie Beanstalk, marking the yard site of her sister, Wendy Smallin. It's also sponsored by Aviva and Simcha Mermelstein, marking the yard site of her sister, Chaya Sharon of Ashraga Feivel. The Neshama should have an aliyah, should see Moshnachas Ruach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the families are involved in. Continuing in the Svarno's discussion of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, we find the Pasuk Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Hey. The Torah describes the making of the Ephod, one of the Big Day Kahuna Gedola, and it ends off with the words, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. All of this was done in accordance with how HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. In fact, that's a recurring theme that we find throughout Parshas Pekudei. All of the work was carried out, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe. So the Svarno comments on this particular occurrence of the phrase, although I think it's fair to say that his comments over here are meant to apply to all the times Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe appears. He says as follows, B'chol Asiya She'asu Ha'omnim, anything that the craftsmen were involved in fashioning either the Mishkan or the Big Day Kahuna, Ha'isa Kavanasom Lasos Ritzon Ha'kel Yisbarach She'tziva Shzeh L'moshe. Their intent was to carry out God's will that he had commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, what the Svarno is saying is that the phrase Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe doesn't just mean that they did the work without deviating in terms of any of the details. It's not simply that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said make a choshen, and they made a choshen. Hashem said make an ephod, and they made an ephod. That goes without saying. What the Pasuk is trying to underscore is that not only did they carry out the work in its details as commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they carried out the kavanos, their intention was to create this to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, to fulfill God's desires. In other words, and this is a point that the Svarno had stressed earlier in Parshas Vayakel, in theory, the artisans who were involved with the making of the Mishkan could have seen it as a project of art, as a project of beauty. They could have seen it as a national symbol. There are many thoughts that they could have had with the building of the Mishkan. Their thoughts were not focused on that at all. It's Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. We want to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, God's desire in building this building. And as such, they infused a very pure kavana, a very pure intention in the building of the Mishkan itself. We saw over the past 2 days that the Svarno had emphasized that the building of the Mishkan was done on a very, very high level of purity and holiness. That's why the Mishkan had a longevity that even the Batei Mikdash did not have. And part of the longevity of the Mishkan, we saw the Svarno had stressed, was the fact that it was built by tzaddikim, it was built by righteous people. So presumably part of that is not just that these righteous people were building the Mishkan, but that they had these kavanos, they had these very pure intentions. We want to carry out the Ratzon Hashem. That would seem to stand in marked contrast to what the Svarno had emphasized with the two Batei Mikdash, that they were both built by foreign workers. In the case of the foreign workers, we can imagine as they were putting up the Batei Mikdash, they were probably not thinking, let's carry out the will of Hashem as we build these Batei Mikdash, but rather, gee, I wonder when it's going to be 5 o'clock so we can get off the job already. I wonder if he'll give us an hour for lunch today, or maybe just 20 minutes for lunch today. Those are probably the kind of thoughts that they had as the Batei Mikdash were being built. And the Svarno is emphasizing that the thoughts of the people involved in the work have an impact on the Kedusha, on the sanctity of the building itself. Another interesting idea which he brings a little bit later on in that same Perek, Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Torah says, Vatechel kol avodas mishkan ol moed. All of the work which was being done on the Mishkan was completed. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe kein osu. Klal Yisrael carried out everything that Hashem had commanded Moshe, and thus they did. The Sfarno has the comment as follows on this pasuk, and we'll try to see what's motivating the Sfarno to make this comment. He says, Hapu'ula kula al shleimusa, the entire work of the Mishkan, Nesisa al yidei kol Yisrael, was carried out by the entire Jewish people. Ki ketsasam hisnadvu mamon, uksasam asu hamelacha benidvas libam, lasos ritzon konam. Everyone was involved in the making of the Mishkan. Now, not everyone was directly involved in the construction aspects of the Mishkan, but everyone was involved in some way or another. Some were the donors. They were the ones who gave their possessions, their money, in order to build the Mishkan. Others donated their time. Asu hamalacha benidvas libam. In the volunteerism of their hearts, they carried out the malacha. They donated their time and their expertise. Everybody donated to the Mishkan. Some donated goods. Some donated services. But everyone was represented in the building of the Mishkan. What prompts the Sfarno in the Pasuk to make this observation that everyone was involved? Is there something in the Pasuk that leaves the Sfarno to make this observation? So perhaps the Sfarno is working off of the word vatechel, which is the verb which is used in the beginning of the Pasuk. Vatechel literally means it was completed. Right, like we find in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, Vayichal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi melachto asher osa. Kodesh Baruch Hu completed on the seventh day, on Shabbos, all of the work which he was doing for the first 6 days of creation. The Sfarno seems to understand that the word Vatechel refers not only to the work itself, that the work was completed, but the work brought an act of completion, or the work was done by the complete people. So in other words, it seems like he's reading the Pasuk in the following way. Vatechel kol avodas mishkan oel moed. All of the work that was done on the Mishkan was inclusive insofar as it brought all of the Jewish people together in building the Mishkan. Again, some donating goods, some donating services. Right? That seems to be what's prompting the Sfarno to make this observation of the Pasuk. Otherwise, the observation doesn't really seem to flow from the Pasuk in any particular way. So another aspect of the Mishkan, which was not present in the Batei Mikdash, again, going back to the Sfarno's theme of the uniqueness of the Mishkan, is that the Mishkan was an Achdus project. It was a project that every Jew on some level was involved in. That certainly does not seem to have been the case with either of the Batei Mikdash, and that again seems to contribute to the Kedusha of the Mishkan, that every Jew is involved in some way or another. Pasuk says, a little bit, the next Pasuk goes on to say, Vayoviu es ha-mishkan el Moshe, es ha-oel v'es kol keilav, krasov krasov brichov amudov adonov. They brought the Mishkan to Moshe, that is to say, the tent and all of its utensils, its hooks, its planks, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. The Mishkan, the word Mishkan itself, refers to the Yirios Maasei Choshev, the lower curtains which surrounded the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim, as the Sfarno already pointed out in Parshas Truma. It's those lower curtains which are described as the Mishkan itself. The upper set of curtains, which were made from goat hair, which covered the top of the building, that's what's referred to as the ohel, as the tent. The Mishkan refers not to the entire structure, but the term Mishkan itself refers to the lower curtains which surround the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. And as the Sfarno explained in Parshas Truma, they are so called because these curtains had images of the Kruvim upon them. They were worked into the artisanship of these curtains, that they had images of the Kruvim, and these images of the Kruvim are supposed to represent the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is coming into the building. So that which is called the Mishkan is that which represents the Hashruas HaShechina the divine presence being in the building. In a similar way, says the Sfarno, that's what the Pasuk means a little bit later on in Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Ches. There, the Torah describes Pasuk Yud Zayin, we'll start with that. Vahi b'chodesh harishon v'ashana hashenis v'echad l'chodesh. On the first day of the first month, in other words, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the second year after they had left Mitzrayim, hukam hamishkan, the Mishkan was erected. And then the Pasuk goes on to say, vayokem Moshe es hamishkan, Moshe erected himself the Mishkan, vayitain es adonav, he put down its sockets, vayosem es kroshav, he put down the planks in the right place, vayitain es brichav, he put the bars in, vayokem es amudav, he erected its pillars, vayifros es ha'oel ala Mishkan, he put the oel, the tent, on top of the Mishkan, which again the Sfarno has explained what that means. The Mishkan is the lower set of curtains. The ohel is the set of goat skins which are on top. Vayosem es michsei ha'ol alav milamala. He put the covering of the tent on top. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, all in accordance with how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. And that pasuk describing how Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan, the Sfarno says as follows. Eser hayirios masei choshev shenikru mishkan. Those 10 curtains, again, which were done in a artistic fashion, which had the images of the kruvim upon them, those are referred to as the mishkan. Hukmu kodem hakomas hakroshim. They were set up before the boards, which is a very interesting observation. If you try to build a tent, right? So, or you try to build any structure, the first part of the structure that you would put up would be the boards to firm things up and to keep them in place, and then the curtains would be put up with the boards already erect. That doesn't seem to be the way that the Mishkan was set up. It says, Vayakeh Moshe's HaMishkan, Vayasem es Kroshov. Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan, which again, the Mishkan doesn't mean the building as a whole. The Mishkan means those 10 curtains. So he set up the 10 curtains, and then he put up the boards. How did he do that exactly? You have these huge curtains, which are, again, the size of a building. He set up the 10 curtains, and then he set up the boards which were going to hold the curtains in place. How did he hold up the curtains while, before the boards were there? You know, you would think that you would set up the boards and then you'd be able to put the curtain around the boards. So the Sfarno points out that's not what the pasuk says. Esar hayirios, these 10 curtains, hukmu kodem hakomas hakroshim. They were put up before the boards. That's what the pasuk seems to say. So how is that possible? In bidei adam machzikim bo. So one way to explain it is on a simple level, that Moshe Rabbeinu called a bunch of chevra over and said, Rabosai, would you mind holding up these curtains for a couple of minutes? You get some yeshiva guys. It was Rosh Chodesh Nissan, it was Bein HaZmanim anyway. So you get a bunch of yeshiva guys, they're going to go and they're going to hold up the curtains. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you know, guys, if you don't mind holding the curtains for a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to come with the boards, I'll put up the boards, and then while you guys are holding the curtains, you can attach them to the boards. That's one way of understanding how the curtains were put up before the boards. V'im al derech nes, or perhaps it was miraculous. K'divreyem zichronam livracha. As Chazal indicate that the curtains were put up miraculously before the boards were able to be put up. It's not entirely clear what the Sfarno is referring to over here. He says that Chazal speak of the fact that the curtains were put up before the boards, b'derech nes, in a miraculous kind of fashion. It's not clear where Chazal say that exactly. Chazal do talk about certain miracles that were involved with the completion and the erection of the Mishkan. They talk about how there was a Briach HaTichon, there was a bar that went around
miraculously bent and managed to hold the entire Mishkan together, but there doesn't seem to be an explicit place in Chazal where Chazal say that they, you know, there was a miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to put up the curtains for the Mishkan before he put up the boards for the Mishkan. The Svarna, however, makes reference to such a Maimer Chazal, again, so we're not exactly sure what he's referring to, but there is, he does make mention of such a comment. So, one way or the other, the curtains of the Mishkan were put up first before the boards, either because they got people to hold them, or because it was a miracle that enabled the curtains to be held in place even before the boards were put up. Either way, we have to ask the question, why would Moshe Rabbeinu have erected the Mishkan in such a counterintuitive fashion? Just put up the boards, and then put up the curtains, right? If you build one of those prefab sukkahs around sukkahs time, again, we here in the city, you know, our, the only notion of a sukkah we have is something that holds 150 people. But if you were to put up, a small sukkah, prefab, you know, one of the, with piping and hanging curtains, again, you know, leaving aside the question of whether it's proper to have curtains as well, it's not proper to have curtains as well, whatever the story is, you would certainly put up the frame and then put up the curtains. Here they're putting up the curtains and then putting up the frame. Why would you do that? And, okay, so the Svarno has outlined two ways to do it. You can get Chevra to hold the curtains while you put up the, you know, while you put up the frame. But why would you want to do that? Right. Why would you want to do that? More than that, according to the second interpretation of the Svarno, that the curtains miraculously were held in place while Moshe Rabbeinu was able to put up the frame, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make nisim for no good reason. You know, it doesn't just go and make miracles for the sake of making miracles. There has to be a reason for the miracle. So why was it so pressing to put up the Mishkan itself, the curtains, before putting up the frame? So the Svarno doesn't say this, but it would seem, based on what the Svarno has said and developed throughout these parashios, that the following might be the explanation. The essence of the Mishkan, or the physical structure of the Mishkan, in other words, leaving aside the kelim, the vessels which are part of the Mishkan, the essence of the structure of the Mishkan itself is those 10 curtains. Again, as we said before, those 10 curtains are designed with images of the Kruvim. They represent the Hashras HaShchina. They represent the Shechina, the divine presence, coming into this structure. Apparently, the manner in which the Shechina is invited into this area is to first have to put up that which is called the Mishkan. In other words, otherwise it's not going to work. If you're just going to put up boards, so the boards themselves don't have so much significance. The first thing that you put up as part of the Mishkan has to be that which represents the Hashras HaShchina. You have to bring the Shechina there first, and then we'll build everything around that. It's kind of like that the very first action associated with the building has to be on the highest level of Kedusha. It has to be that which invites the Shechina in. You have to invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu in first. And that's done by bringing up the Mishkan. And that idea of putting up the Mishkan, the curtains first, and then everything else can be built around it, is so important that it's worthwhile for HaKadosh Baruch Hu possibly making a miracle in order to enable that. And even if we go with the explanation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not making a miracle, rather it's Moshe Rabbeinu getting a bunch of guys together and saying, Rabosai, hold these curtains while I put up the frame. Okay, it's worthwhile doing something which is counterintuitive, which wouldn't be the normal way you would build something, because this idea is such an important idea that the Shechina has to come there first, and only afterwards can we put in the other details that have to deal with the structure of the building itself. Yeah, that's possible. In other words, it's possible that this was unique to the first time the Mishkan was put up. In other words, to bring in the Kedusha, it had to be done in this very counterintuitive way, but maybe as they took it down and put it back up throughout the travels in the Midbar, maybe then they did it in a more conventional way. It's very, very possible to suggest that. Yeah, and I think it would make a lot of sense to suggest that. V'al zeh ha-seder nase v'huva el Moshe. It was in this order that everything was done and brought to Moshe, and And again, let's continue reading the following words, which I think take on more significance in light of what we just spoke about over the past couple of moments. Ki omnom oson eser yirios, because then those 10 curtains, which we spoke about, hein hayu ikar binyan hamishkan, they are the essence of the building of the Mishkan. Usha'or hanichnos be'oso habinyan, and all of the other components of the structure, heim ha'adonim v'akroshim v'abrichim v'amudim v'olel, that is to say, the sockets, the boards, the bars, the pillars, and the covering, the canopy which was on top, all of the other components, hoyu leha'amid hamishkan ulechasoso. They were all there simply to support and to cover the Mishkan, which again, the Mishkan refers to those 10 curtains, which represent the Hashra'as HaShechina. So it's because those, again, what I think the Sfarno was saying over here is, because those curtains are the essence of the Mishkan itself, it was critical that they had to come first. Even if it wasn't, you know, what you would normally do with a building job, you know, to put up the curtains first and then put up the frame, didn't matter. Here, you know, the curtains are the essence, and putting them up first accentuates that they are the essence and they are what brings the Shekhinah in. Again, as Rav Moshe suggests, you know, perhaps this was only when the Mishkan was built initially, and, you know, subsequently it wasn't as important as it was taken down and put it back up again. You know, it may not have been as important subsequently to build it in this kind of counterintuitive kind of way. So the pasuk goes on to say, next pasuk, Lamed Gimel. Vayichal Moshe es hamelacha. Moshe Rabbeinu concluded all of this work on the Mishkan. Vayichaseh onan es oel moed. The cloud came and covered over the oel moed. Uchvod Hashem molei es hamishkan. The glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled up the Mishkan. On that, the Sfarno comments. Tekef achar shekilo Moshe's hamelacha atzricho lahashrus hashchina. Immediately after Moshe Rabbeinu finished all of the activities that were necessary to bring the Shechina in, v'hi meleches ha'hakoma v'ho'avoda bo, that is to say, everything related to the erection of the building itself, kisa ha'anon v'sharsa Shechina. The cloud came down immediately, and the Shechina came in. In other words, it wasn't the sort of process where he finished, and he said, okay, good day's work, we'll come back tomorrow, we'll see what happens. You know, the last piece was in, and immediately the cloud came down and the Shechina came in. It was, one imagines, if you were there, one could imagine the incredible revelation of the Kvod Hashem that took place under those circumstances. You know, you're watching Moshe Rabbeinu put the Mishkan together, he, so to speak, snaps the last piece in, and God's glory immediately, without any delay whatsoever, comes into the Mishkan. Malei es hamishkan, nigla b'chol chelek mehamishkan. Right, the pasuk said that the glory of God, Kvod Hashem, malei es hamishkan, it filled up the Mishkan, it revealed itself in every portion of the Mishkan, but v'lo chutzo lo klal. The glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't outside of the Mishkan at all. In other words, it was it suffused the entirety of the Mishkan, but you go a centimeter outside of the Mishkan, and there's nothing there. In other words, the Shekhinah was exclusively in the Mishkan, but entirely in the Mishkan. And again, as we spoke about last night, the Sfarno here is contrasting this to what's going to be by the third Beis HaMikdash, where he said that the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to fill up not only the Beis HaMikdash, but is going to fill up the city of Yerushalayim similarly as well. That Yerushalayim itself is going to be suffused with the same kind of glory of Hashra'as HaShechinah, which we previously might have associated only with the Beis HaMikdash, only with the Mishkan. Yerushalayim as a whole is going to be filled up with that kind of sanctity, that kind of specialness. I'm sorry, say... What's that?
Why was the Beis HaMikdash built just to be destroyed, you know, hundreds of years later?
Right, it's interesting. So in the Kinnos, we say on Tisha B'Av, so one of the Kinnos talks about how the Avos complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about that very point. You know, why you, right, you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to destroy it, so what's the point? You know, what's the point? So I think the point is, you know, along the lines, you know, a different Gemara, Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachos, the Gemara describes how Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was offered the Nesius, the leadership of the Sanhedrin. So he went home to discuss it with his wife. He was all of 18 years old at the time. You know, he wanted to talk it over with his wife. So his wife said, yeah, but the same way they got rid of the last Nasi, they'll get rid of you also. So Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, look, better to use a beautiful crystal glass once, even if it's going to be destroyed afterwards. So I think by the implication over there, and I think it's relevant to our discussion, is, okay, whatever Hashras Hashchina we get by the presence of the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's short-lived, it's worth it. You know, why not experience that glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for a brief period of time, even if we know that it's going to be destroyed afterwards? You know, I mean, why is it a terrible thing to have brief, fleeting moments of spiritual highs, even though we know that they're not going to last forever? I think that would be applicable over here as well. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch